In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm Father Celso. I was ordained in 1979 for the Diocese of Rochester. I heard about Louisa in 1976 when I was doing my clinical pastoral education in Springfield, Massachusetts, and had the great blessing of 10 years later joining the Association Louisa Picaretta in Corrado, Italy. And then 10 years after that, in 1996, I was asked by the Secretary of the Cause to go to the secret archives of the Vatican and copy the writings of Louisa. And they were brought to the Archbishop in Corrado on the feast of February 2nd, the feast of the Presentation. And it's kind of interesting that these were presented to the Church, these writings that were hidden for 58 years in the secret archives of the Vatican. And it's really what you're going to experience if you haven't read Louisa. It's a new beginning for the Church. You see everything falling apart in all over the world. In the Church, you see things falling apart in your own families. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, even your parishioners are going through some very difficult times. And the reason for that is everything is going to be changed. Okay, it's not the end of the world. But a new beginning is coming for mankind. And if you've known about Our Lady of Revelation, this is an approved apparition in Rome. Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, who was going to kill the Pope, she says, time has now come to an end. And this is basically where we are today. It's not the end of the world. Like I said, it's a new beginning. The time of Lucifer is over. The 100 years, remember, Pope Leo XIII had a vision of the devil talking to Jesus and saying, give me 100 years. Well, it seems as if those 100 years are over. And now with all the confusion, with all that's happening in our own nation and in the world, Jesus is showing us that the kingdom of God is going to be established. And this is the whole reason for Louisa. So we're going to begin today, this hour, with the three appeals, okay? And the first appeal, her spiritual director asked Louisa to write this down. Now, she wrote this down for our benefit. So with the Father, let's begin with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The divine King, Jesus Christ, appeals to his children on earth and now comes and enters into the kingdom of his most holy divine will. My dear and beloved children, this is from Jesus Christ. I, Jesus, come into your midst with my sacred heart all drowned in flames of love. So the first thing Jesus shows us is his sacred heart. He shows us that it's flames of love. This is why he comes to us as the Sacred Heart. He says, I come as a father to be among my children because I love you so very much. One of the titles of Jesus is Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. This is one of his titles. My divine love is so great that I come to remain with you so that we may live together with one single will, with one single love. Okay, so we all know families that have children with their own human wills, spouses with their own human wills, and the families have difficulties. Everybody seems to be arguing with one another. And Jesus says, I don't want this anymore. He says, I want you to use your free will to choose to no longer live in your human will so that you can enter into living in my most holy divine will. So the free will will always be with us. So we choose to the right or to the left. What side do we want to belong on? Do we want our human will? Now, what is our human will? Our human will is what we say when we go to confession. When we go to confession, we say to the priest, Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And then we say, with a firm purpose of amendment, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be complaining. I don't want to be negative any longer. And I will turn away from these sins. Okay, that's our human will. Our human will is miserable. It's I want. It's like a child saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. It always leads to trouble. Jesus says this. He says, my love, my divine love is so great that I, God, will come to remain with you so that we may live together with one single will, with one single love. So he promises this to us. He says, as I come to you, I bring to you my pains, my blood, my works, and even my very death. So what we see with Christ, first of all, is his crucifixion. We see that he died on the cross for us. And he says, I want you to look at this. See, when we don't understand the love of God, it's because we do not meditate on Christ crucified. When we complain to God about what we're going through, it's because we haven't looked at Jesus crucified yet. So he says this. He says, look at me. And that's when the priest holds the host up at Blessed Sacrament, during the Holy Mass, he says, this is the Lamb of God. It's a time to look at Jesus. He wants us to see him. Now, this is the reason why he asked his mother to be on Calvary. He asked Mary to be on Calvary so she could witness his crucifixion and death. Can you imagine? He says, I want you to know how much I love you, that I would be willing to die for you. So as Catholics, we wear the cross. We not only wear the cross, we wear the crucifixion. We wear Christ crucified. In every room of our house, we should have a crucifix in our home. Why? This is the glory of God. So Jesus says, look at me. See, if we don't meditate on Christ crucified, we cannot understand his love. So he says, each drop of my blood, each of my pains, each of my steps, and all the things I did compete with one another because they want to give you my most holy divine will. So everything that Jesus did on Calvary was to help us understand that he, the Lord God Almighty, wants us to have this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigy, which is the divine will. It says, even my death, listen to this, this is so amazing. Even my death wants to give rebirth to the life of my most holy divine will in you. Now, the holy divine will is the true life of Jesus, is the true life of Mary, the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary. And what's really astonishing is that this is the life that Adam had before the fall. This is the preternatural life of Adam. Living in the integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality of God. See, when God breathed into the dust, he breathed his image and likeness. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We have to understand that this is what God wants for us now. This is the reason why Jesus and Mary came to earth, was to reestablish the universal life. The Catholic life. This Catholic life is the life that Adam had before the fall. And so for the last 2,000 years, he's been teaching us through our dogma, our doctrine, through our tradition, through the sacred scriptures, how to live this life, this Catholic life, this universal life. So he says this, I, God, have prepared everything for you. He says, in my holy humanity, I, God, have prayed for and obtained all the graces, all the helps, all the light, all the strength for you to receive this gift, a gift that is so great. So Jesus says, he saved the best for last. He wants to give to us, he has predestined us to live at this time, to give us this gift of gifts. So again, it's very, very important that we understand what God wants. He said very, very clearly, on my part, I, God, have done everything. So now I, God, and he uses his name, I am waiting for you to do your part. And what is our part? Okay, it's to return back to God his I love you. He breathes into us his I love you, and he wants us to breathe back to him his I love you, not our human I love you. See, the divine will is so beautiful. It is, as he says, I've done everything. I, God, have done everything for you. I've given you the grace, the help, the light, the strength to receive this gift that is so great. Now I am waiting for you to do your part. And this is what the Book of Heaven is all about. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, we begin to give back to God what is God's. This is what's so astonishing. You read the lives of the saints, you know, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross, Saint Teresa of Saint Catherine of Siena. These are the great mystics of the church. And yet, God is giving us something more than what he gave to them. And this is what you're going to discover as you read this. He says, who would be so ungrateful as to turn me away and not welcome this great gift that I, God, am bringing to you? So he's saying, as you read this, you're going to begin to understand this universal life, this Catholic life that God is giving to us is more than what we've learned from the saints. Now, we love the saints. You have the prayers of St. Francis, the prayers of St. Gertrude, the prayers of St. Ignatius, all the great saints. What Jesus is now saying, what Mary is now saying, is we're going to teach you how to pray the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed. This is why nobody has heard about this. This is a great secret. This is hidden. Now, why would God do that? Okay, let's look. What is the greatest secret as Catholics that we have that nobody really believes? Nobody really knows. It's in every Catholic church. When that tabernacle candle is lit, it says Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity is present in this church. This is the reason we go to church and we genuflect. We say to Jesus, genuflection means you are my king, you are my master, you are my God, you are my savior, you are my all. And yet, this is a secret that most Catholics don't believe. Or if they do believe it, it's fleeting. See, what God loves, he keeps hidden. Let's look at Bethlehem. No priest showed up in Bethlehem. Well, who showed up? Some shepherds and some wise men. That's all. At Calvary, who showed up? Very few, 5 people. The Blessed Mother was there. But who else was there? Very, very few. At Jesus' resurrection, who was there? Nobody. You see, the resurrection is one of the most important things for us. And that's what our God is saying to us. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. That's what God is saying. So what God loves, he keeps hidden. Now, another secret is the scapular and the rosary. This is the clothing of heaven Our Lady asks us to wear every day. Most people don't realize that. Most people don't pray the Holy Rosary. Very, very few do. What God loves, he keeps hidden. For those that, like he says, if you seek this, you will find it. If you will knock, it will be open to you. So this is what he's saying. He says it very, very clearly. So who would be so ungrateful as to turn me away and not welcome the gift, the great gift of the divine will that I, God, am bringing to you? He says, you have to know that my divine love is so great, listen to this, that I, God, shall forget about your past life. I, God, will forget about your sins. I, God, will forget about all your evils, and I shall not only bury them, but I will drown them in the ocean of my love. Not only drown them and bury them, but I will burn them all away. And then we will begin a new life together, all of my divine will. You see what's coming? What's coming is the new era. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, and it was exactly 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. The time of the evil one is over. And that's why there's such great confusion. Jesus said, I came for division. I want to know who is with me. I want to know who is against me. And as Catholics, we see very clearly how to live this abundant life, this Catholic life. And we've been given a decision to continue to live in the demonic, which is all around us, or to begin to live heaven on earth. And that's what Jesus is showing. He's showing us this. So he says this. Who would have the heart to refuse me? Who would have the heart to send me away without accepting my visit, which is so full of a Father's love? But if you shall welcome me, so this basically, the welcome is fiat. The welcome is yes. When God said, let there be light, he said, fiat lux, and everything was created. When the angel came to say to the Blessed Mother, you'll be the Mother of God, she said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. With Luisa, he's saying, I want you to say what you pray every day, in the Our Father. May your kingdom come and reign in me on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God is asking. That's the fiat voluntas tua. Let your kingdom reign in me on earth as it is in heaven. So he says this. He says, but if you shall welcome me, I, God, will remain with you as a father in the midst of his children. So he says, and if this is going to happen, then we must be in the greatest accord and live together with one will alone. Oh, how much I, God, long for this. How I, God, moan. How I, God, cry, even going into delirium and weeping because I, God, want my dearest children to gather around me and live with my very own divine will. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying this. We are his dearest children. That's what he's saying. I want my dearest children to gather around me and to live with my very own divine will. That's what God is saying. So he says this. It has been almost 6,000 years, and my holy humanity has sighed so much and shed so many bitter tears because I, God, want my children to come back and live together with me. We're not supposed to be separated from God. He says this. We're not supposed to be separated. God isn't supposed to be a million miles away from us. Most of us, when we pray, we plead with God. Please, 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 please. Jesus says, I want you to understand that you're right with me. So he says this. I, God, want my children around me, he says, to make them holy and happy again. When you pray the breviary in the morning, the canticle of Zechariah, there are three promises to Abraham. Okay, the first promise is you'll be freed from the enemy. And that's when Jesus died on the cross. We were freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. The second prayer is you're free to worship God without fear. Each of us to go to Holy Communion, every day when we go to Holy Communion, none of us are terrified. We are receiving the holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And none of us are afraid. None of us are terrified. The third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. What does that mean? That means to become like God. Remember, when God breathed into the dust, it was God's image and likeness. So with holy baptism, we enter into God's image. Now with this great gift of the divine will, Jesus says, you're going to enter into my likeness. That's why he said to the apostles, you'll do far greater things than I. And to prove it, he said when he was walking on the water, Peter said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Peter, a human, walked on the water. Humans don't walk on the water. Humans don't do divine things. But what Jesus was showing Peter and the church is that when the divine will reigns, we're going to do things that Jesus does. Remember, he says this. You'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? How can we do that? It's because it's a new era that's beginning. That's what's coming. So he says this. It's been 6,000 years. And now he says, I weep and weep as I call them to come back to me. Who would not be moved to compassion over my tears and my love, which goes so far as to suffocate me, even choking me? Here we see Christ crucified. We see his hair, all around his mouth as he's hanging on the cross. He's suffering. He's choking. He's suffocating. And he says, among my sighs and my agonies of love, I, Jesus, go about repeating, my children, where are you? Why don't you come back to your father? Why do you go away from me? Why do you want to wander about poor and so full of so many miseries? Your misfortunes are wounds to my sacred heart. And I, God, am weary of waiting for you. He's given us everything. He's given us the sacraments. He's given us the sacramentals. He's given us his blessed mother as our mother. And he says, you still are lagging behind. And he says, I'm tired of this. So what does he say? He says, I'm weary of waiting for you. And he says, since you do not come back to me, I, God, now come in search of you, because I, God, can no longer contain my divine love that consumes me. And I am, he says his name again, I am bringing you the great gift of my divine will. Jesus is doing this. He's doing it in his church. You have to understand, this is hidden. But like all things that are hidden, it's a great treasure. He says, oh, I beg you. Here's the humiliation of God. How humble our God is. He's begging us. He's pleading with us to be moved to compassion for my so many tears and ardent sighs. I, God, come to you not only as a father, but also as a teacher among his disciples. So he says to us, he's going to teach us. So what is this book of the divine will about? What is this book of heaven? It's Jesus teaching us. Jesus is teaching us. He says this, I, God, want you to listen to me, because I, God, shall be teaching you surprising things. I will teach you lessons of heaven, he said, which shall carry with them a divine light that shall never go out, and a blazing divine love which endures forever. My divine lessons shall give you a divine strength and invincible courage, a holiness which keeps growing more and more. These lessons that I, God, shall give you shall light the way of your steps and guide you along the way to your heavenly fatherland. That's a promise of Jesus. Now, again, as you enter into this gift, as you begin to read, as you begin to study, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Why? It's heaven. Jesus is speaking to you. This is what he says. He says, these lessons, these teachings shall light the way of your steps and shall guide you where? To the heavenly kingdom. I, God, come as a king to live among his people, but not for the purpose of levying taxes and heaping burdens upon you. No, no. I, God, come because I, God, want your human will. I want your miseries. I want your weaknesses. I want all your evils. He says, my divine sovereignty is really this. I, God, want everything that distresses you and everything that causes you to be unhappy and restless so that I, God, can hide it within my divine love and burn it all away. As the beneficent, pacific, and magnanimous king that I am, he uses his name again, I, God, want to exchange my divine will for your miserable human will. And therefore, I will fill you with my most tender love. I will fill you with my divine riches and my divine happiness. I will fill you with my divine peace and most pure joy. Remember, Jesus says, I will give you my joy so that your joy will be complete. That's the promise of Jesus. As Catholics, we should be joy-filled, peaceful, and happy. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live the life of heaven on earth. That's the whole reason for the resurrection, to begin to live this life. So he says this, if, now he leaves it back in our hands. He is a gentleman. He doesn't force us. If you shall give me your human will, all shall be done just as I, God, have said. And you shall make me, God, happy. And then you will be happy also. I, God, long for nothing else than for my most holy divine will to reign among you. Heaven and earth shall be smiling at you. My heavenly mother, Mary, shall be a sure mother and queen to you. She knows the great good that the kingdom my divine will shall bring to you. And in order to satisfy my ardent desires and to stop my weeping, and because Our Lady loves you as her true children, Our Lady is traveling amongst the peoples of the nations, disposing and preparing them to receive the dominion of the kingdom of my divine will. That's the reason why Our Lady is all over the place. Every nation. She's talking to all the peoples. And now you've got to understand this. What Our Lady has said to Sister Mary Ephraim, in Our Lady of America, in 1956, she said basically, I come to the United States as my last resort. Now, the bishops are studying Our Lady of America. The bishops are being astonished by what Our Lady says. And the bishops have said that soon, more than likely, I'll put it that way, she'll be processed into the Basilica. And if she is processed into the Basilica, the United States will be saved and the world will be saved. Wait till you read about Our Lady of America. Sister Mary Ephraim was a great, great, great person. Our Lady appeared to her many times, 12 different apparitions of 12 different ways, and she says, get ready, get ready, get ready. We are living in exciting times. If you know anything about Father Gobi, Our Lady speaks to her beloved priests. What does she say in 1997, at Christmas of 1997? She says, everything's completed. Everything's done. What did John Paul II say as we got ready for the third millennium? He says, get ready for the third millennium. The glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Great things are right around the corner. You have to understand this. If we are faithful to God, what Our Lady said in Akita will not happen. It will be like a new blessing for the earth. Repentance. If we turn back to God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, if we begin to live in the divine will, great things are in store. So Jesus says this. She, Mary, is traveling amongst the peoples of the nations, disposing to prepare them to receive the dominion of the kingdom of my divine will. It was Our Lady who prepared the people for me so that I, Jesus, could descend from heaven to earth. And now I am, he uses his name again as God, I am entrusting to the Blessed Mother, to her maternal love, the task of disposing souls of our people to receive this gift of the divine will, which is so great. He says, Our Lady's getting everything ready. So he says this, again, you see the humility of God next. So please listen to me. I beg you. How humbling that is. Our God begging us, begging humans. I beg you, my children, to read these books very attentively. These pages that I am, he uses his name again, I am placing before you. If you shall do this, you shall feel the need to live in my most holy divine will. And I, God, listen to this, is his promise. And I, God, shall be standing right beside you when you read. I will touch your mind so that you will, your mind and your will. So I will touch your mind so that you'll understand this. I will touch your heart so that you'll read this. And I shall be standing right beside you when you read, touching your mind and your heart so that you shall understand what you read and shall truly want the gift of my divine fiat. So what Jesus is saying is as you read this, you're going to fall more in love with Jesus. You're going to fall more in love with Mary. You're going to fall more in love with this universal life. And you're going to say, there's nothing else that I want. I want to be one with you, Jesus. I want to be one with you, Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is Christ's promise to us. You have to understand this. He says, Since we haven't come to him, he's coming after us. He really wants us to begin to live this. So now we'll read part two. This is the maternal appeal of our Blessed Mother, the appeal of Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, for her children to come into the kingdom of the divine will. And this is from the Virgin Mary and the kingdom of the divine will. Wait till you read that. Wait till you read the Virgin Mary and the kingdom. Our Lady will teach you how she lived in the divine will. You see why this is not saintly? Now think about this. Every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice. And what does he say? May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the priest is saying? We are that drop of nothing falling into that cup filled with wine. And the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That's to be in God's image and likeness. You see what God is calling us to. Every day at Holy Mass, we are seeing what God gave to Louisa, a sharing in divinity. Wait till you find out about Louisa. If you got the paper there of the image of her being crucified, Jesus crucified Louisa every day. Why would Jesus do that? Jesus says, I do this because when the Father sees someone that loves him, Jesus, the Father says, I want you to be more like him. So all of us are suffering, every one of us, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's not that God is punishing us. He's saying, I want you to be more like my son. So our suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, isn't anything to complain about. It's to say to Jesus, if we fall more in love with Jesus, we say, Lord, I want you down from the cross so that I can take your place. Just for a moment, just for a minute. So God's got everything planned. So here, now Our Lady is going to speak to us. Dearest daughter, dearest child, I, Mary, feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to make you my maternal visits. As Our Lady appeared to all the visionaries throughout the world, she is now going to speak to us, heart to heart. And I can guarantee you, when you read the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, you really hear Our Lady speaking to you. As Jesus touches our mind and our heart, so that we will understand what he's saying and love what he's saying, the same thing happens with the Blessed Mother. And she says, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to make you my maternal visits. And if you assure me of your filial love and faithfulness, I, Mary, shall all remain always with you in your soul to be your teacher, your model, your example, and your most tender mother. Again, it's almost an echo of what Jesus said to Louisa. Our Lady and Jesus are one. Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. And what's happening is they're reforming us, remolding us in their image and likeness. That's what God is asking. So she says, I if you say yes to me, if you return to me, I will always remain with you in your soul. See, we're not separated from God. Like I said, God isn't light years away from us. God is very close to us. Mary is very close to us. The new Adam and the new Eve are very close to us, and they want to see in us their spiritual DNA. If we are the sons and daughters of Adam when we're born, and then through baptism we become sons and daughters of God, ontologically changed to become sons and daughters of God, now what happens is this. We with Jesus and Mary, we become more like them. Now, what does that mean? That means the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin has to disappear from us. It has to go. Jesus is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. So he says this. Our Lady says this. I shall remain with you in your soul. I will be your teacher. I will be your model. I will be your example. I will be your most tender mother. And then she says, I, Mary, come to invite you to enter into the kingdom of your mother, the kingdom of the divine will. See, it's her kingdom. And I knock at the door of your heart that you may open your heart to me. So now here, our Lady is showing us that, like the Sacred Heart of Jesus, her Immaculate Heart is necessary for us. To be consecrated, and every home should be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you haven't consecrated your children, your grandchildren, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, do it. Just say very simply, Jesus, I want my children, my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews in your Sacred Heart. Mary, I want my children, my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews in your Immaculate Heart. Consecrate them to Jesus and Mary. You can't believe what will happen. You won't have to worry about them. Even if you have given them to Jesus and Mary, trust Jesus, trust Mary. So she says this, I come to invite you to enter the kingdom of your mother, the kingdom of the divine will, and I knock on the door of your heart that you may open your heart to me. You know, with my own hands, I, Mary, am bringing you this book, the book of heaven, as a gift. So it's Jesus and Mary that's bringing us this gift. I offer it to you with maternal care so that in reading it, you will learn to turn to live from my heaven and no longer from your earth. We're going to learn to the way to live of heaven and no longer the way of earth. Can you believe this? You're going to be so joy-filled, so happy, so peaceful that earth is going to be secondary. Heaven is going to be number one. Wait till you see what's happening. You know, it's so beautiful what God is doing. Through Jesus, through Mary. So she says, this book of heaven is of gold, my child. It shall form your spiritual fortune and your happiness also on earth. See, the one thing that, you know, we have, because of St. Faustina, you have, Jesus, I trust in you. That's because of John Paul II. See, why did John Paul II give us divine mercy? Because John Paul II read what Jesus said to St. Faustina. He says, the final devotion that I will give to my church before I return. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. The Pope gave this that in the year 2000. He says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. You see what's coming. A new era is coming. And Jesus has asked us to live at this time. He's asked us to enter into this gift that is secret. It's hidden. Our God is, he has so much fun with his children. You know, it's like a good father will get a present for their child, but won't tell them. They keep it secret, keep it hidden. Until the present is released. So Jesus is hinting at this. And again, nobody's living in the divine will yet. Nobody's there yet. As a matter of fact, when we got the writings 1 through 36 in English, it was only 2005. It's only a few years. And yet Jesus is saying to us, I want you to enter into this gift. So he says, Our Lady says, this book of heaven is of gold. It shall form your spiritual fortune. It shall form your happiness on earth. And in it, you shall find the font of all of God's goods. If you are weak, you shall acquire strength. If you are tempted, you shall achieve victory. If you have fallen into sin, you shall find the compassionate and most powerful hand of Jesus and Mary to raise you up again. This isn't saintly. This isn't good. This isn't holy. It goes beyond that. This is divine. This is what the priest is saying at Mass every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This prayer is now being fulfilled because of what God gave to Louisa. If you are weak, you will acquire strength. If you are tempted, you shall have achieved victory. If you have fallen into sin, you shall find the compassionate and most powerful hand of Jesus and Mary that will raise you up again. If you feel afflicted, you shall find comfort. If you are cold, you'll find the surest way to get warm. If you are hungry, you shall enjoy the delicious food of the divine will. This is the first bread. There are three breads. The The third bread is your wonder bread, the one that we eat every day. The second bread is the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. But the first bread, the number one bread, is the divine will. This is the food that Jesus ate. This is the food that Mary fed on. This is the food that Adam had before the fall. Why this first bread? Okay, Jesus tells Louisa that we have the second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, every day if we wish, if we want to go to Holy Communion, to prepare us for the perennial communion with God, to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did. That's the first bread. He saved the best for last. You see what Jesus is doing? Oh, he loves us so much. So he says, with this delicious food, you shall lack nothing. You shall no longer be alone because your mama shall keep you sweet company. And with her maternal care, shall take on the commitment of making you happy. This is a promise of the Blessed Mother. She promises us that we will be happy. Now, most people that I know, and especially good Catholics, are concerned about their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephews. Jesus says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. I want you to begin to live this divine life. And I, as God, will take care of your children. Mary says the same thing. I will make you happy. I'm going to take care of your children. The new Adam and the new Eve promise you this. There's nothing to worry about. It doesn't matter where they are in this world at this point. Jesus says, you do what I want, I'll do what you want. God is going to take control of this. Trust him. Believe in him. Have confidence in him. So he says, the Our Lady says, I, the Celestial Empress, shall take care of all of your needs. I will provided, listen to this, that you agree to live united with me. So this is her promises is if you promise her to be one with her. And how do we promise the Blessed Mother to be one with her? It's very simple. Pray the rosary, wear the scapular. If you pray the rosary, if you wear the scapular, you're saying to Our Lady, I trust you. You ask me to wear the clothing of heaven, I will wear the clothing of heaven. You ask me to pray the mysteries so I can look at Jesus with your eyes, I will do that. That's all that Our Lady asks. Very simple. And as you pray the rosary, as you wear the scapular, everything begins to happen. I will take care of all of your needs, provided that you agree to live united with me. And then she says this, if you knew my anxieties, if you knew my ardent sighs, if you also knew my tears that I shed for my children, do you think your tears are many? You have to understand, the tears of a woman are very important to God. In Israel, if you ever go to Israel, it's a little vase, it's a little vase that the women would wear around their neck, and they would collect the tears. Because Scripture says the tears of a woman are very important. Not that the tears of men are not important, but the women have a more of an emotional life. So when Scripture says that Mary Magdalene washed Jesus with her tears, she took this vial that she wore around her neck and poured it over the feet of Jesus. She washed Jesus' feet with her tears. Now, if a woman and a man prays and cries, how much more of our Blessed Mother? If you also knew of the tears that I shed for my children, if you knew how I, Mary, burn with desire that you listen to my lessons all of heaven and learn to live from the divine will. This is Our Lady is saying this to us. She needs us to cooperate. She really does. Our Lady has everything planned. Jesus has everything planned. The new era is going to begin. Listen to what Our Lady of Revelation says 72 years ago on April 12th. Time is now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's a new era that's beginning. Our Lady and our Lord have got everything planned. So we'll end there, okay, and we'll begin in about 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.